Hearty welcome to all who are here, not only live with us today, but those who are joining us online. I agree with Greg Parker when he told about the wonder of technology that allows so many to join us who would not normally be able to. I was handed this book just prior to services. There's one sitting on the shelf. I'll make this one available too. In our walk for water last June, and we are in this book. And it shows us not only some of our pictures of us in here, but also the work that is going on drilling wells, and also the location of the well of which they drilled two summers ago and last summer. There, I think I got all that. So please have a look at that. I believe we are planning forward to it. The month of December is a series of five words that reveal God to us. Last week, we talked about sin, and through God's mercy, He has revealed how He has taken care of sin for us. The final lesson this month is going to be on heaven. In between, there are three lessons, the first of which is going to begin today. Faith. Next week is on hope. Can you guess what the third one's going to be? And love, yes. These 3 weeks are based on the last verse in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. These three remain: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. As they say in the movie industry, there's an awful lot left on the cutting floor. The editor's room, that is not going to be used. There's a lot I have to fit in about faith. The writer of the book of Hebrews gives us a pretty good definition. While not a strictly in one sentence definition, although it's pretty good, verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Dropping down to verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And then he follows through with a laundry list, as we might call it, of those whom the Hebrews would know immediately from their exposure to the Old Testament. Not only the law, the first five books of the Bible, what we know of as the Bible, they would have known as the Torah, but also down through history, all of these. And as he goes further on down, he says, and time will not permit me to talk about all these others. We talk about faith. I'm going to begin by asking, just as I asked Janine yesterday, as we were looking for a place out in the country up in Leelanau, a little place called Cedar. And as we were in the middle of nowhere, coming to a crossroad, I said, well, I think it's to the right. And guess where it was? To the left. In order to know where you're going, we begin this, and each of us asks, well, I wonder if this is where I hope to be at the end of the sermon in faith. Where am I today? Things that we know by faith would be something we would examine first. In verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 11, he says, we understand. Another word would be that we know. We understand by the intellect of the mind that the universe is created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of those things that are visible. The very same thing that Paul writes to the Romans in chapter 1. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. As we look around, if we were to step outside, and I'm not going to ask you to step outside right now, but any time that you step outside and you look around at the wonders of the world around you, it is clearly perceived that this didn't just jump into it through billions and billions of years of evolution, that it must have come from somewhere. Clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. We know that the universe was created by the Word of God. We understand that. We also know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Romans 8:28. We know this, those of us who have faith. Those without faith may wonder as to why things happen in this world. But by faith, we know for those that love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. And working all of those things together, we know that they will all work out. Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5:1, we know if our earthly tent is destroyed, we have a home in heaven. This earthly tent that Paul speaks of as our body, we know, those of us of faith, know that if it is destroyed, we have a home in heaven. John writes in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, we know when he appears, we shall be like him. The world may not know what will happen when this universe comes to an end, but we know when he appears that we shall be like him. So there are things that we can know by faith. We know them because we have God's word, which is exactly where faith comes from. Paul says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or the word of Christ, depending on which translation you have. We know that. Backing up earlier in Romans chapter 10, in verse 8, he says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith we proclaim. This word that produces faith is the word of faith. All that we can know about God is contained here that he would want us to know in his word. It's also called the word of faith by Paul, who writes in 2 Corinthians 6:7, by the word of truth, Paul calls it, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on his right hand and on his left. The same thing that Paul calls it to the Ephesians. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Paul writes to Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, where we get our faith. There are various kinds of faith that are described in the Bible. As we read in the New Testament, we see that the first time that Jesus comes walking across the water, he's in the boat, he stills the storm, the disciples are afraid. And he calls them of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. Why were you afraid? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, as he talks about those who are worried about the things that they are going to wear, what they're going to eat, he said, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So there is faith that is very small. There is faith that is weak, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 14 and verse 1, that we are to watch over those who are weak in faith. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. Little faith, weak in faith. We have those who have no faith. The second time for them to understand that he could do this. But that time he says, how is it that you have no faith? No faith. James writes that, thus, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Little faith, weak faith, no faith, dead faith. So faith is described in many ways throughout Scripture for us to grasp the spectrum that speaks of faith. As you look at that spectrum and are able to say to yourself, I wonder which one of those describes me. And I can't look out and say, well, that person has weak faith, that person has no faith. I have no idea. But we can answer that for ourselves based on the things that we're able to look at in Scripture. James tells us that, well, before we get to that, faith is known by its actions even when things are unseen. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For it's easy to believe in things when we can see them, but to have faith in things that are unseen. By faith, the writer of Hebrews tells us in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events yet unseen. Noah, I want you to build this ark, and here are the dimensions for it. Because there is going to be a flood. There had never been a flood. Some reason that there had never been rain. I don't know that the Bible is very clear on that, though it tells us that things were watered by rain in the first 1,500 some odd years. We don't know. But many people reason that there wasn't. And so Noah is told, there's going to be a flood, and I want you to build this ark. And by faith, he did. In reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. The very next verse in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Not knowing. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, knowing that women of her age were not able to have children. By faith, she believed it. And after this list is completed of the very specific ones, he says, and what more shall I say, beginning in verse 32? For time would fail me of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. He could have gone on and on, but the list was sufficient to show them what faith looks like in actions. James would write in James chapter 2 and 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So faith is more than just something that we believe in our mind. It must be carried out in our lives and our actions. For we are told in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. According to the power of the work within us. For Paul would tell the church at Philippi, I can do all things through him. What is this power at work within us? Well, it's Christ working in us by faith. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Working in us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is in and from God. We're not strong enough on our own. We must have that which God gives us. And that which God gives us, we have by faith. I'm glad, and I tell Tim the things that are going to be in the sermon based on the topics. And I told him that faith is the victory, the song that we sang. For everyone who has been born from God, as John tells us of 1 John 5:4, O world, our faith gives us victory in this world. The very same thing that Jesus had told him in his presence, and John records for us in John 16:33. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And now we overcome the world as well. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. 1 John 4, verse 4. Jesus would write in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. He said, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. And that same word for believe is the same word that is translated faith. Faith and belief are the same word in Greek. We see them time and time again. A power that works in us. And so we ask our question once again. Is that power at work in me? That power of Christ working in me, overcoming the world. Paul would write again to the church in Corinth, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I don't know about you, but that is one of the toughest things for me to do. Or the things that I do in this world are based on what I see. I make decisions based on what I know and what I can predict based on things that have happened in the past. But not so in many areas of our faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith knowing the things that await us, not based on what we see in the world around us. If we walk by the way that things are around us in the world, we will be troubled, just as the world is. But Paul says, we walk by faith, not by sight. He'd write again to the church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4:18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. In these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And again, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we process all of that in our minds, which I have given to you in a hurried form, as we grasp what faith is, what faith looks like, what faith produces. And our final question we would ask is, James would write about faith in that famous passage about faith without works. For he says, you believe that God is one, that same word, faith and believe. You have faith that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So simply to believe that there is a God, because time after time when Jesus approached those who were demon-possessed, they knew who he was. Who are you, Son of God, to come at this time? Over and over, and he had to silence them. They knew who he was. But we know, just because they knew who he was, that they are not in a position or in a state of grace. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we have what we know of as the rich young ruler, who recognized Jesus as a great teacher. And a ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? For recognizing that Jesus is Jesus still is not enough. And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, all these I have kept from my youth. He lived a pretty good life. To know who Jesus is and to live a good life is not enough. He said, one thing you still lack. And he was unwilling to do that which made Jesus sad. To be religious is not enough as well. In Acts chapter 17, as Paul is in Rome, and in Athens, and as he wanders about the city, it says that he was stirred in his spirit as he walked throughout when he saw that the city was wholly given to idols. And standing in the midst of the earth, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. You see, it's not enough just to be religious. One must have a relationship with Christ. It takes more than just being a religious person. For as Jesus said in John chapter 8, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to me except to the Father except through me. It's not enough just to be religious. In a very strange passage in Acts chapter 19, we find that Paul, as he is traveling about, we begin in verse 1 of Acts chapter 19, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? Then he said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized for the baptism of repentance, telling the people who believe in one who is to come after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, you can be baptized for the wrong reasons. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right. You can't be taught the wrong gospel, as Paul relates to the churches in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. He says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which he continues, not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. You see, for those people in Galatia, those areas, they were teaching that one must adhere to the law, circumcision, in order to be saved. And that's a different gospel. You can't be taught wrong and baptized right. So those things that one must do, they must do as Jesus commanded them. See, if faith comes by hearing, what is the hearing we must hear? In Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, it says, go there and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Not part of it, or a good portion of it, but all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. We come back to that God of Christ. What else must be taught? As Jesus was getting ready to ascend into heaven, he tells those disciples in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47 and 48, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. The correct things must be taught in the way that Jesus taught them. Another part of this is found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, beginning of verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, on the way to salvation. So we see that Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection must be taught. We must be taught that we must repent. We must be taught that one must confess. And we also must teach exactly what he tells us in Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. John would write to the churches in the book of Revelation. He writes in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I've met people over the years who thought that all they had to do was to be baptized, and then they could go on and live the life they wanted to live. But the scriptures are very plain about the life we must live now that we are in Christ, is that we must be faithful unto death. Oh, we're going to stumble, that's for sure. But we must continue on. Continue on by faith. What kind of faith saves? The kind of faith that hears the word, understands the word, and acts upon that word. And we don't call those things works in the sense of what Paul describes the works of the law. But these are things in the Greek form that we must have faith that saves. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith. In this year of gratitude, I'm thankful that I have the word that I'm able to gain faith by and continue on in my life and to be thankful for such things. And as you have asked yourself the questions of, what kind of faith do I have? Do you have the faith that we have described in these verses? That type of faith that puts us in touch with the blood of Christ, obeying all the things that have been commanded of us, and continuing on in our walk. If not, we stand here ready to help you in any way that we can to make that decision sure, to make your calling and election sure, as Peter tells us. Whatever your need is, we hope that you'll make it known this day by faith as we stand and sing.